Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode that is a little bit different than our normal podcast episodes because it's more of a vodcast, video podcast, because there's going to be quite a lot of visuals in here. We're going to do the raw recording of this podcast, and then we'll edit it for the podcast later on, etc. Today, I have got an absolutely fascinating case study to bring to you about tackling common entrance exams, or just exams in particular, with as a parent with a child who has dyslexia. And sometimes it's hard to realize what it's actually like. So what we're going to do is dive deep with a mother who is trained in, you know, all things English and grammatical, secretary, PA, assistant at the American Embassy in London in her time, and raising up a child with dyslexia. And we all know if you've got a child with dyslexia, she found out when the child was seven, the daughter was seven, you end up homeschooling, and whether it's officially or unofficially at home, a lot of extra tutoring for many children. And so we've had Denise on the podcast before. If you want to hear her story, go back. There's a couple of times I think you've been on. I'd like to introduce to you Denise Golding. Denise, it's great to have you here with us.
Thanks, Darius. It's nice to be here.
And I'm really looking forward to hearing your story. You've got a lot of things prepared here. You're going to kind of talk us through your experience of common entrance exams and guiding your daughter through those common entrance exams. And interestingly, how COVID helped you.
Yes, I think it was great to have lockdown because we had so much time to sit and focus on what we needed to do. And without that time, I think we might not have got the results we did get.
Yes. So, I mean, why don't you give the, before we start off, we've also got Anna with us, who's dropped in as an audience member to just be a sort of a parent who can ask questions. Anna, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Anna, and I've got a son who we think has got dyslexia. He's been screened and has shown many traits and has been struggling at school since he was about seven, but we didn't really know why. So we've been put in touch with Darius through a screening agency, and we're just here to learn more about mind mapping because we really feel it will help my son with his GCSEs that are coming up. So, and just a structured way of revising.
Yeah, and GCSE mocks are in just 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And our plan for you is to do coaching one day a week, every day for 25 minutes, and just strategically teach him how to structure his thoughts visually and go in there with a visual essay plan that he can do from memory to give him structure.
That's correct. He does struggle with structuring, so that's what we've decided to focus on.
Well, what's quite fascinating, we're going to hear from Denise, is, you know, as parents, I want you to get so many useful things out of Denise's experience here. And one of the key things we tell every parent is work out the marking structure of the exam. Work out what the rules of the game are. You know, if you're going to play football, is it soccer or is it American football? You know, what are the rules of the game? It's still a square pitch. It's still an English essay or a written essay, but what are the rules of the game that you're going to play by? And there's variations, you know. Is it, you know, normal rugby, or is it the other kind of rugby, or is it Australian version of their kind of rugby? I don't know the names of them all, but there's different games, there's different rules for very similar activities. And the same applies to English or history, common entrance English or GCSE English. So that's really useful. We're going to go into that. One little tidbit on that is, if you go and look at an exam for English, often if you look at GCSE English, it'll say 40% of the marks are for how well you understand the book. Another 40% of the marks are on how well was the essay organized. And the remaining 20% is English stuff, like English techniques and comma and paragraphs, not paragraphs, and so on. But that 40% is about organization. And so really, is it an English exam or is it an organization exam? And I want to plant that thought in your mind just now, you know, because a lot of teachers are there to teach the subject, but the child needs to learn the subject and organization skills. So we're going to segue into Denise's experience. So Denise, paint us the picture. You said, well, give us the headlines. What would your daughter have got if you hadn't intervened? And what did she get?
She was predicted to get grade C's and D's.
C's and D's. Out of how many exams?
Yeah. Roughly five or six, I think.
Okay, yeah. Five or six C's
all C's at a push, D's. That was the prediction.
Okay, so top level C's, realistically, somewhere between a D, just about a C.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what did she get?
What she got was very different. She got A's and B's and A's one and D B's. French.
And one D in French. So yeah. Actually, we should really say, what did you both get?
Yes, thank you.
Because let's face it, anyone who's got a dyslexic child, when they get the results, okay, those are joint results because it's a team sport with dyslexia.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got the headline and you're going to drill down into history for us because there's five different subjects. You could tell us about your English story, your geography story. You used bullet mapping and visual organization techniques for all of them, but you're going to zoom in on history. Tell us about history and explain to us, give us a big picture and start us off at the beginning of the journey.
Yeah, so history, as we probably all know, a lot of the percentage in an exam is the written work, is a story, basically, it's an essay. And I think once you have the structure in place and the organisation, it's fairly straightforward to lay it all out. I think I'm going to focus on history here because you can easily relate this to any subject where you have to write an essay, basically. But I know for a fact that in history, one of the questions in the common entrance will always be write along the lines of write an essay about a battle or explain how somebody won a battle or lost a battle. And if you have a structure in place and you know the basic of a battle, for example, the 1066 Battle of Hastings, which is what we focused on here, you can easily answer the question.
Okay, so what was it like at school? How was your daughter finding learning the Battle of Hastings at school like compared to when she came home during COVID?
So she could remember parts. She's quite good at remembering particular bits, so actually dates. She's quite good at remembering dates if she's interested in the subject that's being taught. But she didn't really know how the battle was won and why the battle was lost. And so we went right back to the beginning and looked at all of the work she brought in from school. I parked a lot of it because it was just too much information and overwhelming. So I found the basics of the story on the internet, printed that out, and we read through that so that she understood what battle was about. And then we broke it down into sections from there.
Okay. So you've got things to show us. And was that during COVID?
This was, yes, we started working on this during COVID, yes. So before then, she had a rough idea of the battle, but she didn't know the detail and she didn't understand the whole concept of the 1066, the winning and the losing of it, yeah.
What I'd really love to hear from you is, how did you actually go about helping her get her head around the Battle of Hastings. Can you show us some pictures? Because I know you've got some drawings and maps and so on, and some context here. Your daughter has been doing bullet mapping with Bullet Map Academy for a number of months before this, in fact, probably 6 months to a year at least. But it wasn't always quite getting into the classroom or into all the way through the process, but you had to come in and actually bring her and show her step by step how to apply it and bring it all the way into the exam, all the way to the point where you created a map with her and she took a map in her memory into the exam, redrew it, and did her test from that map that she redrew in the exam. The overview is that often in class, a child can have mind mapping techniques that we teach them, the bullet map techniques. And often in class, they say, oh, just mind map this for us, please, children. And often a teacher's mind map is so confusing for children that they just have a very negative reaction to it. And it's just more overwhelming than it is helpful. And so they get turned off from visually organizing things because just far too many words in their maps. Denise, do a sound check.
I'm back. Is that better?
Yes. Can you hear me? Lovely. Fantastic.
Oh, good.
That was worth it. Thank
you. Sorry about that.
Okay, so I was just talking about how sometimes a teacher's maps can be so wordy and overwhelming. Can you show us one that came in from your class, please, Denise?
Oh, yes. Okay. Shall I use
your phone. Yeah, use your phone. I'll spotlight your phone. And teachers, I'm really sorry to criticize you like this, okay? Because you're expected to do a lot of different things, but visual organizing and mind mapping is not taught to you properly, okay? This is not very helpful, but let's have a look at this. Okay, so who gave you this?
This was a geography teacher.
Okay. And this, what was the purpose of this?
This was given for revision purposes.
Okay. So basically, thank you for sharing that. The reason why that's not helpful, oh, that's much more helpful because there's more keywords in it. But the other one, is that a teacher's one?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. Earthquakes and volcanoes. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of good things in this, but also from a mind mapping point of view, there's ways you could upgrade this. So thanks, Denise. Okay, Denise, talk us from the beginning. What was life like? You know, what was the challenge ahead of you? And what was it like at the beginning with the daughter? You know, let's get right down to how life was like.
So if I go right back to the beginning, my daughter was probably about 7, and I noticed she was writing her letters back to front and wasn't easily pronouncing the letters she was trying to read. When she progressed to reading, she was skipping words and actually skipping lines when she was reading a paragraph. So alarm bells rang straight away. But jumping ahead a little to schoolwork, she has always struggled to focus in class, and the teachers were always telling me she's always asking to be dismissed. You know, please, miss, can I go to the toilet? Oh, I haven't got a pen. I've lost my book. Any excuse to be not listening to what she should be listening to. Her organization skills as she got older, I noticed were not as they should be. So she's very forgetful, not able to remember which lesson was next. And when it came to taking information in from a teacher in a class, so studying a particular topic, it was just impossible for her. It was just too much information. It was overwhelming. And so she really has struggled all the way along until we found a method of organizing things.
And what was the method?
Mind mapping. Your method, Darius. It was revelation. I never forget when we first came to a talk you did near Berwick, I think it was, and drove up. Well, it took us about 2.5 hours one evening to drive up to you. And we sat after school, this was late one evening, and listened to your talk, to be honest, I was struggling to stay awake some of the time after a long day in driving. Annabelle was buzzing. She came out of that talk and she said she had never in her life understood somebody as much as she understood what you were talking about. It just, you just blew her mind. And I remember she had so many questions to ask you, and we recorded all the questions and she sent them to you. And I think you just showed her that it's possible for somebody who's really struggled in school, that they can get through this and the way to manage everything. And she's proved it. She can do it. You know, she did it. She got great grades and she now knows it's possible.
Yeah. Well, she didn't just do it, did she? It was you and her that did it.
Yes, that's true. I think
I think that's the reality. You know, if it wasn't for you being there, yes, I gave you the skills and principles, but if it wasn't for your drive to make sure she actually put the legwork in to do it, she wouldn't have got it, would she?
Oh, no, she wouldn't have done it. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. She wouldn't have done it. It's too much like hard work. Why would she sit down and do work when she could be outside? No.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's quite a bit of wishful thinking within school in general between the teachers and also the pupils sometimes. It's like, eventually they'll get it. Eventually they'll get it. And if they're going to get it, they'll get it. If they're not going to get it, they're not going to get it. But actually, what happened at COVID, she came home and you're there during COVID with her, homeschooling her now. What difference did that make to you and her?
I think the difference was just the two of us sitting in a room, no distractions, and we both knew what had to be done. And she could ask as many questions as she wanted to.
Mm.
And we didn't move forward until she understood what we were working on. It was a huge bonus to have that time. But it's also made us realise that if she had mind mapped throughout the year, her life would have been a bit easier when it came to revision. So moving forwards now, that's what we're going to aim to do.
Can you show us what you actually did to be able to pass the history common entrance exam and get an A?
I have some mind maps here. Yes. Shall I show you?
Yeah. Show us on the phone again. Yeah.
So yeah.
Can you talk us through the map?
Well, yeah. Okay. This was the basis of her understanding. So we took some whiteboard sheets. You know, you can buy it on a roll.
Yes.
And tear it off. Big, huge whiteboard sheet. And we stuck that on the wall. And I read through the story first and she just bullet pointed the story.
Yeah.
And from that, she drew this mind map.
Fantastic.
But what I did, which I think was really helpful, so she'd draw the main branch here, which says three men.
Yeah.
And she then went on to draw the rest, copying from her bullet points that she'd made earlier on the wall. And then I'd ask her, but Annabelle, what does that mean? Of course, I knew what it meant, but I wanted her to tell me in her own way. So rather than just reading it out word for word, I wanted her to read it to me in sentences, which is what she did. And every time she created a new branch, we did this process. But before moving on to the next branch, I'd make her go back. So she was then retelling two parts of the story.
I see. So in this example, she would maybe in the Battle of Hastings, there was three men, three main men. On the throne, there was this king called William. He's a French king in Normandy. And then there was this other king called Harald from Norway. He was a Viking. And he had come over to battle, I'm guessing. And then there was another king, which is called Harold from England, and he was a Saxon king. And so these three kings were the important kings in this battle.
That's right. So we're all fighting over the throne.
Ah, the throne. They're all fighting for the throne. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, there was Harald and Harold.
Was Harold old?
Absolutely.
Okay, so great. So that's interesting. So fascinating. Often with Bullet Map Academy, we get the children to talk through the whole map. But what you did was you changed that slightly and said, let's not do the whole map and then explain the whole map. let's do one branch and main branch and explain that one main branch before we move on to the next.
Yes, and then every time she added a new branch. So she'd drawn this one, the three men, and next she drew this one, the Council of Witten.
Yeah.
And who would they choose? So she'd draw this out, and then I'd say, right, brilliant. Let's go back to the beginning. Tell me about three men again, but then go tell me about council. So every yeah. time she was adding a branch, I'd go back to the beginning.
And basically what you're doing there is you're making her link, aren't you?
Yes.
And from an exam point of view, a lot of people, the examiner's looking for how well can you link one topic to another. So we've got the three men fighting for the throne, and then we've got the Council of Witten. And you're basically training her through this talk through to intuitively make that link each time.
That's right, yes, yeah.
Can you wind us back? This is often, it's often tempting to think this happened straight away, and it didn't. There was quite a lot of groundwork to get to this point, isn't there?
There is, yes.
So wind us back to the groundwork. Describe us what the groundwork was to get to this structured point where she could structure her ideas like this.
We found one document within her history folder under Battle of Hastings that told the whole story.
Okay.
And we got that out and we just highlighted the important facts. And from that bullet point, she wrote all the words on a board. And she picked the important words to mind map this.
Yes.
So this was actually her first mind map, although there's not a lot of information on it.
That's very good for her first mind map. Well done. I mean, she's practiced a lot. That was good work to jump from the bullet map. So she's got a bullet point list. So she's done a proper bullet map here. She bullet point listed all her ideas from this one document. Then she's underlined those key words, found the big words like three men, Council of Witten, prepare, etc., and then started to structure this map and include all that information. Very good.
Right.
Now, if she didn't do this, how many other pages of documents did she have on the Battle of Hastings? Now, I'm imagining there's quite a few pages that this is distilling down from. How many pages was her original handout that summarized it, and how many other pages of notes did she have as well?
Okay, so the original handout with the whole story on was probably 5 or 6 pages long.
Okay.
But the work that she had in a folder was probably a third of a folder full for that one topic.
Oh my goodness. So you're talking about 50 pages? 30 pages?
At least, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in effect, this one map is summarizing about 50 pages worth of information for her to get her head around the whole topic.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it's the very, very basics of what you need to know. This is all you need to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. What else have you got for us? What happened after this?
Yes, let me show you.
So while Denise is doing that, let me just explain to you what normally happens in this scenario. So what normally happens is child comes home with 10 to 20 to 40 pages of homework notes and revisions on a topic. They underline the keywords, pull the keywords out and create maybe 2, 3, 4 note maps. And then they've got their head around it on 3 or 4 or 5 pages. And then they pull it together into some bigger map that summarizes it all. And then they've got everything on the one page. And then they can actually get their head around the whole subject and start facing an exam with it. So Denise, what have you got here now?
So as time went by, we realized that the question in the exam paper wouldn't be describe a battle or talk about 1066. It would more likely say, where did William win the 1066 battle?
Yeah.
And we knew that from having passed exam papers to hand. So then we went on to use the information from the mind map I've just shown you to basically construct an essay here with an introduction and a conclusion.
So you used the scaffold map thing that we used in our tortoise and hare training thing here. Yes. So you started with the introduction at 1 o'clock. You then said preparation. Then you've got how, and then you've got Harold, and then you've got conclusion.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
This podcast is sponsored by dyslexiaproductivitycoaching.com, which helps you organize yourself creatively with a productivity system for Apple devices.
Could you talk us through this map? How would she end up describing this? Could you just give us a quick talk through? Even if you get bits of it wrong, don't worry.
Yeah, I'll have a go. It was a long time ago. And my daughter would describe it much better than I can, but here we go. So this would be a first paragraph, and of course, we did discuss, well, do I write introduction or not? Yeah, why not make it a heading? It's fine. And then it's organized. So the introduction. The battle was between William, the Duke of Normandy, and Harold, who was King of England, and they both wanted to gain the throne. The Battle of Hastings was on the 14th of October, 1066, and it happened at Fenlack Hill, and they were only in battle for one single day.
Great.
To prepare for the battle, William, the Duke of Normandy, waited on shore because the wind wasn't good. He was waiting to sail. And what I always pushed for Annabelle to do was to give me more information that's what's written down. So she would remember other things from the story that she could add that we didn't write down.
Yes.
So William waited on shore because the wind wasn't good enough to sail. In the time he waited, he trained at least 10,000 men. So he trained an army of professional fighters in France, I'm assuming. Not sure why that's there.
Probably,
Yeah, whereas Harold just gathered his English army and the local farmers. They weren't particularly skilled. So we have to remember that in 1066, there were no guns or planes or tanks, and the battle was fought on foot. And then if we move over here, she's written here, how did William win the battle? Well, he had a strong trained army with over 600 cavalry.
Mm.
So he wasn't on foot. A lot of his army were rested. God were on their side. Pope Alexander II, why is that written there? Mm. There's a reason. I think Pope Alexander II told them.
Probably God gave them their blessing and that would inspire them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They communicated well and fought alongside the army. So the cavalry fought alongside the army.
So William was the kind of king that went and fought with his battle and showed his face among men.
Yeah, that's right. He fought as well.
Yeah.
He didn't just stand back. Yeah. And their weapons they used, they had shields and they had bows and arrows, swords and battle axes. Now, Harold, on the other hand, was inexperienced.
Okay.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, this is great. Right. Keep going.
Right. Where are we? Harold, on the other hand, was inexperienced. His men weren't skilled, and they included people such as farmers. They were in poor condition. They were exhausted after the Battle of Stamford. They'd previously had a battle on the way, whereas William had waited for the wind, so his soldiers were all well rested, whereas they just fought battle. And their weapons were small farming tools and stones.
Wow.
They had no cavalry.
No cavalry.
So in conclusion, William won because he used good tactics. He had a strong army who were well rested. They were prepared and they had lots of luck on their side.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I know that took a little bit of time, but it's helpful just to get the full context of how that simple structure can actually deliver quite a well-patterned argument. And when you have to remember that 40% of the marks are going towards structure, there was very clear structure there. And one of the advantages there is that she doesn't need to write as much because she knows she's covered everything.
Yeah, and from there, Darius, So from there, I wanted something Annabelle could take into the exam, and she was no way going to remember all of that.
Mm.
So we devised this map, which was only four main branches.
Okay.
And each branch had four lines.
Ah.
And each line had three words.
Okay. So you've got a 4-4-3 pattern.
Yeah.
And do you know why that's quite clever? You've intuitively created 18 points in there, you know?
Okay.
Each one of those three ends up becoming a sentence. Each one of those four, you know, lines ends up becoming a paragraph. So immediately you've got a point for each one of those four paragraphs. You've got a point. You've made two or three strong points in your introduction. You've done the same in the other ones. And so each one of these just generate a point for structure. And you've got probably about 18 points, somewhere between 15 and 18 points just for structure. And you've already created them with this map.
Yeah, it worked really well. And because Annabelle by now knew the story inside out, we moved on to this. And she just practiced filling that in over and over again.
Okay. So basically she created what we would call a memory map.
Yes. Yeah.
Although the one limitation to a normal memory map on this one, if you don't mind me making some comment, is there's not a huge amount of her doodles in this one. She's a really great doodler. Why is there not so many doodles in this one?
There isn't. I don't know. She's got a couple in here, but nothing much. Yeah.
So she just went with the words. The words were enough to remember.
She did.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
She was happy with the words. We discussed the doodles, but no, it wasn't happening.
Okay. Yeah. So the words worked for her. Then what did she do in the exam? Did she go into the exam and draw one of these out?
Yeah, she did. She went into the exam before reading the question. She drew this. She drew it. Yeah. Because she knew there was going to be a question in there along the lines of describe a battle where somebody won. And the conclusion we always discussed to check what the question is before you write the conclusion, and always write the question in your conclusion. If that makes sense.
It does, yes. So if the question was describe a battle and the three things that made the difference, so you would then say, in the Battle of Hastings, William won because the three things that made the difference was he had a strong army that was well trained and they were well rested, and that's why William won the battle. Boom, mic drop.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, all the information is on there that she needed. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so that's what Annabelle did in the paper, but can you tell us a bit about the sort of emotional side of it? Because, you know, it's very easy to rationally say, oh, and then we did this and then we did that. I mean, so what I'm picturing is at one point you got this huge pile of paper, a folder with so many bits of paper in it, so overwhelming for one question, which was the Battle of Hastings. You've got like 50, 60 pages in that one folder, and she's looking at it going, there's no way to distill this down.
I can't do this.
You're looking at it. You go away, find exam past papers, the questions, the marking scheme. Then, you know, you find you shuffle through all of this and you find one story that sums it all up. And then you get in front of a big whiteboard. You underline some of these keywords on these five pages. And then she puts them up on the whiteboard as this bullet point list.
That's right.
And then from that bullet point list, she sits down, looks at the list, and starts to visually organize it. She talks her way through it, explains it to you. Then she's got her head around it. Then you do a different map, which is a map which isn't the story, but it's how do you answer a question to do with that story, which is why did they win the battle, not what happened in the battle. Most children would go straight in there and just start describing the whole battle. And that's like, great. Yeah. You've got 40% of your points for knowing the story, but you don't get 40% of the points for answering or structuring the story. And so that second map actually gave her the other 40%, access to the other 40%, to be able to structure it in a way that answered the question. But that wasn't enough even. You then need to go to the next step, which was, how is she going to actually remember this in the exam? And that's where she practiced what we call a flash map and just redrew this map. And did she take the tested map and test herself against the original and mark it?
Yes, we did that. Yes, yeah.
And tell us Absolutely. What it was like, because often when you start doing that, you're like, oh, there's maybe, we had 18 points times three. So you've got about 60 points to remember in there. What was her first flash map score around about? I'm going to probably guess it's about 15.
Yeah, it probably was about 15, maybe less than that, to be honest. It took a lot of work. It was overwhelming. It was a lot.
Yes.
And luckily we had the time to do it. It's a lot of repetition. And yeah, for the child, it's quite boring and monotonous, but it just proves that it can be done. And I think once they understand that they're gaining something and they have understood the story better and they know that they can do this, they can mind map, and this is really going to help them, then they're more keen to stick with it, I think.
Because they're making progress.
Yeah, always making progress and realizing that, yes, I remembered a bit more than I did yesterday. Let's keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, because often when you flash map, for example, you get 15, you know, out of 60 or 10 out of 60. And then you're like, right, let's do it. You've got another 5-10 minutes, do it again. And you do it, try it again. And you go, oh, I got 16, 17, 18. Okay, let's do it again. And you get up to 30 and you're like, we're halfway remembering it. And then you try it again. And the advantage of that is you're not repeating a whole essay or writing out a whole story to prove what you know and test yourself. The cycle is faster. But what I would be fascinated by is, let's talk about real numbers, like estimate how much hours and time this actually took you from beginning to end for this one question. Because let's just get context. So for the history, is there three questions to answer? Two, one?
I think there's two or three questions. So we're not only focused on this, we're focused on the Black Death, and I think there was, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, so you properly went into depth on three topics, knowing that there would be two or three questions to answer on those topics. Okay, so we've got one topic as an example. Yes. How much time did you have to spend from beginning to end on this one topic, would you guesstimate?
It's very difficult to tell because it was split over many days, but probably we put it all together, maybe five full days.
5 full days. What is a full day, you know, 4 hours?
Yeah, maybe 5 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. 5 hours a day for five days.
You know, we didn't sit down and do it all in one go, no. Darius. We split it out a lot. But if I just try and pull it all together and think about how much time was spent, I'd probably say maybe 5 days. Yeah.
So
a lot of time.
We're talking about 25 hours worth of revision for that one subject, that one question, probably the same again for the other two. So in total, about 75 hours of, you know, one-to-one contact time to get across that line for the exam.
Yeah, it's a lot of time, but actually I think this was probably one of the first revision maps that she did to this extent.
Yes.
I think from here, it was probably a little easier for her. And we did use more doodles in the next one. Can I just show you something?
Yeah, sure.
I've got the Black Death here.
Because you've done this for geography. You've done this for other subjects. I've seen your geography maps. They're fantastic with the volcanoes and the earth and all sorts of stuff. Very visual.
Yeah, and you have to, add diagrams.
Anna's just about to go. Anna, you're just about to head off actually to do a tutoring session, I think. Any quick questions, Anna, before you head off? After hearing all of that, there's people on Facebook Live that I should ask questions of. But from your point of view, what have you? Any questions, comments, observations?
I'm just absolutely amazed about, you know, how Annabelle's achieved such amazing results. And, you know, the time, I know how much time I've had to spend with Sam trying to drill in information into his head and trying to get him to remember it, the hours and hours and hours. And the system and the technique is very new to me. I've not really experienced mind mapping before. And it's a technique that, you know, I wish I'd known about 10 years ago for Sam. You know, I'm just absolutely flabbergasted at how well she's done from the technique. And I'm looking forward to Sam having his first session in 3 minutes, learning how to do it.
Fantastic. That's great.
Well, thank you.
Do you feel less guilty? Do you feel less guilty about all the hours you spend? It's just nice to be honest about how long it actually takes to do some of this sort of low-grade clerical work, as I call it, or Ken Robertson calls it in his TED Talks, low-grade clerical work. Sometimes you feel a bit bad or guilty. It takes so long.
Well, yes, it does. It's I look back to when I was at university and the reams and reams of revision notes that I had to plow through, and I just wish I'd known about the technique even for myself, because I struggle with the same problem Sam does. So it's a revelation for us. I think it's going to be amazing.
Great. Well, enjoy your first tutorial.
Thank you very much, Darius. Thank you. Lovely to meet you, Denise.
And you. Bye, Anna.
So why don't we go to Facebook and just see if there's anyone watching us. Is there anyone watching us? I don't know. I've just been... Oh, yeah, there are a couple of people watching us. So if you've got any questions, pop them up in the comments, etc. Just so you know, we are talking about exams and what it takes to pass exams like Common Entrance or GCSE or even A-levels, etc. But at the moment, we're talking about Common Entrance with Denise, a mum who's been through this. So you've got some more. What else have you got to share with us, or thoughts?
Well, Darius, I just thought this was interesting. Let me show you this. So this was the Black Death. And again, this is one that we had up on the wall on a big board, and then we put it back, we put it down onto paper. But from this, she created smaller maps.
Ah, she's got a memory map there. Fantastic. A simplified, smaller visual memory map, which could... reminder of everything that's in the Black Death as well in the other map.
Yeah, so all of the information on that other map is here, and she would be able to reel that off for you.
Yeah, like we wouldn't understand it, but what's fascinating, if you point to that person with the bubonic plague and the 50 and then the face, could you explain that little orange branch there, what it would mean to Annabelle?
Bubonic plague, there's lots of spots on the face. Is that what that is all about?
Yeah, number one is probably the face, so it affected the face.
Yeah.
And then number two affected the body, the lungs.
Yeah, the respiratory, yeah, that's right, okay. The lungs.
And then what's number three?
Number three, what's this?
Is that blood?
The third one. It's 100% death, isn't it? That's what it is. This is what likely to die and more...
What does the original map say?
Yeah, have a look.
Three types.
Septicemic spread. Yeah, bubonic, pneumonic, and septicemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, bloodstream. Yeah.
Bloodstream.
No treatment.
So that's really clever what she did there. Okay, what she did there was she structured it. And I just want people who are watching this to see how a 12-year-old, 13-year-old did this. So she's got a body with a one for the head, a two for the body, and a three for the legs. And the one is the bubonic plague, affected the face, 50% death rate. Two is respiratory, so she did it in the lungs. And then three is the legs, and that's 100% death, and that's for the blood. And she's simplified it to that level. So it's not just simple, it's well-structured and creative logic has been built into this map. I love it. And there's loads more examples of this that she's learned and done. It's really well done. So did she do this after the Battle of Hastings, Matt?
Yes. Not long after that. That's right. Yeah.
Ah, that's fascinating. So, you know, yes, she got locked into all the words, and then we tried a whole different set of training, which was like no words, just doodles. And now she's incorporating that into this memory map. Fantastic to see that progression in style.
Yeah, it's amazing. And obviously for them, it's so much more fun than writing the word, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's just chat for a little bit and wind things up. Looking back as a parent, what have you learned from this process of the Common Entrance exam, just that cycle of starting the revision and getting to the point of the exam? Looking back, what have you learned that you're going to roll over into the next exams?
Definitely going to take my own advice and make her mind map throughout the year. It's got to be the way forward. Otherwise, you have to do everything from scratch. And I know people are just starting out, and that's got to be done, and you've got to go back to the beginning and start mind mapping from all your notes. But if you have a mind map at the end of every topic, or more or less, when you come to the end of the year, you just pull those mind maps out and combine them and put them all onto one page. I think when we first looked at this, it was so overwhelming. Honestly, she had at least one A4 file for every subject, and it was just too much. And in her mind, she just switched off and said, can't do that, it's impossible. How do I revise? I don't know that children are really taught how to revise properly. And if they are, for dyslexic, I think they just don't comprehend it, and it's just too much for them. I've seen Annabelle sitting, reading books, flicking pages, not reading, flicking pages, and ask her, what are you doing? I'm revising. I thought, yes, that's how I used to revise when I didn't know what I was doing.
She's putting in the time, but not making the progress.
Yeah. Nothing's going in when you're just flicking pages over, is it?
And the same thing happens.
I realised.
The same thing happens even if, so there's different scales. You could be flicking through it. That's, you know, a base level. You could be actually rereading and rereading and rereading, which is inefficient and very ineffective, scientifically proven to be ineffective. But you have to be taking notes and summarizing it. So you could take notes from it. But some people take their notes and then they rewrite their notes and rewrite their notes and rewrite their notes. And that doesn't always help, because they've actually got to recreate those notes rather than recopy those notes. And so you've saved a ton of those steps by putting in this visual system. And okay, it's hard work, but it's hard work that actually gets progress. So in the end of the day, I wonder how long it would have taken in revision terms for geography, for the history essay. You know, once you've done it those 25 hours, it ends up being 15 hours next time, and then five to 8 hours the next time, and you're like, right, it's manageable now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the other thing that was a big realization for me was that she didn't understand any of this to start with. She hadn't understood the topic full stop. And creating the mind maps has given her that understanding. And because she's understood it, she can remember it easier.
Yes. How many lessons do you think she had on the Battle of Hastings?
How many lessons in class at school?
Yeah. What would you guess?
She had a lot of handouts and there was a lot of work in that file, but she didn't have a clue what it was about. I think she was having two or three lessons a week, yes. So there was a lot of work in there.
Two or three lessons a week, and how long would like the Battle of Hastings module have been? A 3 week module, 5 week module?
It'll have been probably 4 weeks.
4 weeks. So we're talking about 12 hours worth of teaching.
Yeah.
And she still didn't understand the Battle of Hastings.
No, not at all.
So she's had 12 hours of teaching in school. She comes home with a folder with about 50 pages of notes. She's got an exam facing her in a couple of months. And now it's time for her to revise. And she's like, I don't know where to start or what to do.
That's right, yes.
And she's
so
got...
for me, moving forward, the only way for her to understand anything fully is to map it, to break it down, and to put it in her words or her doodles, and then she remembers it as well.
And how's that working at the moment? You know, because she's doing this, she's been doing this for about a year now, a year and a half, maybe longer, maybe 2 years now. Is it 2 years now?
It probably is 2 years, yes. Yeah.
Off and on during those 2 years.
Yes.
How's it going with bringing it into, because the idea was to start mapping while you're listening to the subject or while you're learning it rather than after it. That's much more efficient. How's she getting, is she getting to that point of being able to do it in the class?
We're not quite at that point, no. Although okay. She has shown me my map she has done in class, but not while she's listening to what's
okay.
happening.
So when the teacher says take notes from the blackboard or the whiteboard or something, then she might convert those, and her note-taking yes. would be, instead of listing it out, she would go into the map.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
And her, so she had some classics work that she didn't understand, so she brought that home. And we went through it. You know, it's written in Old English, so we didn't understand it. We had to look up every other word in the dictionary to find out what it meant. So we did that, mapped it out, and that was the only way we could, me as well, that we could figure out what on earth it was saying. So that's been really useful. It's not explained by the teachers in modern language. It's spoken to in, you know, half in Latin. These children are listening and supposed to understand the Latin phrases and things, and it's not going in.
Well done. So after all of that, she ended up getting what grades?
Yeah, she got all A's and B's for her common entrance.
Fantastic. What, could you go through them? Did she get an A for her history?
She got an A for history, English, and geography, I think it was.
Fantastic. Did she bullet map all three of those?
Yes, yeah, yeah. And then a B in science. And we didn't do as much work on science, interestingly. Okay. And actually, we didn't do any memory maps in science because we've run out of time and it's too much. But obviously what we've done, because she understood it, she was able to remember a bit of it, enough of it to get a grade B, which was amazing. And then the grade D was in French that we hadn't mind mapped at all.
Fascinating. So the ones that you actually took it all the way to a memory map that she could redraw as a flash map in the exam, she got A's on. And the ones that she did some basic mapping on, the science ones, she got B's on, but you didn't do as much. And the French one, you didn't do any mapping, she got a D on.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think there's a pattern there.
Yes, fascinating. Yeah.
And what did her teachers think of her results?
They were amazed, absolutely amazed.
Why?
Because it wasn't predicted. She wasn't predicted to, you know, I don't really think they thought she would get C's, never mind A's and B's.
So they
had predicted, sorry, Darius, yeah, they predicted C's and D's, but I think that was being quite generous of them.
Okay.
I think they'd expected a lot of D's in there, because for her mock exams, she wasn't getting anywhere with her mock. They did lots of mocks in the run-up to this, lots of practice papers, and... she wouldn't like me sharing this, but I will. She was getting things like 12% and 20%.
Oh,
the majority,
my goodness.
Of her, yeah.
That's so demoralizing when that happens. That
isn't
is quite remarkable, isn't it? When a person is capable of getting 70 to 80%, as she's demonstrated, and yet she's getting 12 to 20%. It's so common. I mean, there's another student who is getting a U. Basically, a U stands for unmarkable, ungradable. Mm. It's like lower than 20%. And she was struggling with history in A level. And she needed the history to be able to do the subject she wanted at university. She wanted to do speech and language therapy. She, within a few months of using this system, started to take 10 pages of notes, turn them into one map, and then she got a B within months. And it's amazing. All it takes is to be able to organize your ideas visually compared to in lists.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, their self-esteem just hits rock bottom when they're getting these results. And why would they ever think things could be any different?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why work hard when you know you're going to get a result that's so poor? Yeah.
Well, Denise, thank you very much for opening up your book, your story, and going in depth. I'm sure there's a number of parents who just, that's exactly what they just needed, some brass tacks. How did it actually work? How did you actually do it, etc.? What's the reality of it? I think in summary, the reality is it's hard work, but it's actually much quicker and more effective if you just follow a system that's visual and just get straight down to it and make small progress on each step. And it's hard won sometimes at the first time you do it. Like those 25 hours aren't just 25 hours of doing it. I imagine there are 25 hours of persuasion, of dealing with, the mindset of I can't do this, what's the point, and all of that side of things. And then once you've sort of climbed up from that low, it becomes easier because they start realizing they can do it.
Absolutely, yes. Why do I have to do this? It's too hard. Yeah, but you're right. Once she's done it a couple of times and she realizes it's making things easier, then we'll just take it from there. And of course, we always try and make it fun. Using all the different colors helps, Darius. Even at this age, when you're 13 years old, colors help enormously. And doodles as well. Doodles are so much fun.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much. And thank you for listening or watching. If you've done this, we'll edit this down into a proper video that is a little bit more streamlined. But Denise, that was fantastic to get an insight. I'm sure there's other maps you could share with us and other stories, but they all follow a very similar pattern. Deeply appreciate that, Denise. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I hope it's been helpful to somebody.
Have you got any final messages to parents out there who might be watching this?
If I can be of help of anybody, just please ask me. Message via Darius if you want to, that's fine.
Brilliant.
I know it's overwhelming and it seems like an awful lot of work. Once you get started, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I think the important thing to realize here is once you've done it once, you've learned a skill set that is a skill set you'll have for life. And, you know, when she comes to an exam that she just actually has to pass and really wants to pass, whether it's a music exam or a biology exam or something that is a gateway towards a place she wants to go in the future. It could be when she's 25, 35, 45, whatever. Mm-hmm. She thinks to herself, oh my goodness, what was the system I used with mum that worked really well for those exams? And it comes back to her and she starts doing it again. And I think that's the key thing here. And it's not just for exams, it's for a project. If you want to, you know, do a presentation, you know, if you want to write a story, a report, a business plan, you know, it's the same process, different presentation.
Yeah, exactly. The same structure. And once you've got the structure and the organization of it, makes things so much easier.
Thanks, Denise.
This podcast is brought to you by Bullet Map Academy. We help children organize their thoughts creatively and unlock their dyslexic potential with the world's first online dyslexia school for study skills. Thank you for listening. Please like and leave a podcast review so other parents can find it. Visit our website and join our newsletter for updates at bulletmapacademy.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time. This podcast is sponsored by dyslexiaproductivitycoaching.com. It's my day job when I'm not hosting this podcast. Tell me, do you know what you want to achieve in the workplace, but you're struggling with how to achieve it? Maybe you suspect some traits of dyslexia are getting in the way. Well, that's where Dyslexia Productivity Coaching comes in, because we give you a simple productivity system for your Apple devices that harnesses the creativity that comes with your dyslexia. It includes proven methods like note-taking, reminders, speech-to-text, mind mapping, and more, all tailored to your needs. It'll free up your time and help you achieve outstanding results. Book a complimentary call to discuss it with me, and if you do it soon, I may also be available to coach you personally via Zoom. So don't be shy, go to dyslexiaproductivitycoaching.com or swipe up and book it now.